well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment.
Thanks for listening again, guys. This is Joe. I'm here with normal co-host Lee.
Hi, everybody.
And then today, our guest that we're very excited about is Rhonda Azell. I think I pronounced that correctly.
You did.
Okay, great. And Rhonda runs an organization by the name of Chicago Guns Matter. Rhonda, will you tell us a little bit about that organization?
Hi, everybody. I'm Rhonda Azell. I am president and co-founder of Chicago Guns Matter. Lead plaintiff in Azell versus City of Chicago. Chicago Guns Matter is made up of pro-gun individuals in and around the city of Chicago that took on the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois to restore gun rights to the entire state. Illinois was the last state to get some form of carry on the book. So here in the city of Chicago, it actually started with Otis McDonald suing the city of Chicago for the right to own a gun in the home.
Yes, yes.
Which was the second Supreme Court case that had been taken. Keller was the first. So when we see Chicago Guns Matter, what that mean is we are the plaintiffs that took on the political powers to be, the corrupt system here in the city of Chicago to restore gun rights for all Americans, not just some.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought it was necessary for us to take those cases, the plaintiffs from each case, put it together, put a profile together, put it in the form where people can go to our website and click on a case and read about the litigation and see that it's people that look like them, people that are regular, everyday mom and pops, people that get up and go to work every day and just standing there fighting for American freedoms. That's who we are. That's what Chicago Guns Matter is.
I love that. I love that. Usually one of the first questions I ask, and I skipped over it, so I'll ask you now, is what does the Second Amendment mean to you?
Freedom.
Okay.
American freedoms. Because understanding what the Second Amendment is, the Second Amendment doesn't give one a right to do anything. It prevents the government from committing tyranny on its citizens.
So very
true. Understanding that other nations have literally disarmed their population. And when they did that, they actually took their lives. So understanding that the Second Amendment was created after a war, the government, we had a fight. They knew what was going on. They had just got out of war. They said, we're not going to allow this to happen in the future. Let's write this Second Amendment to this United States Constitution. And understanding that logic, that America was born on violence, but it doesn't give you a right to have something. It prevents the government from taking something away from its people.
That's fantastic. Probably one of the more thorough answers that we've got.
One of the most inspirational. The hair on my arm is standing up listening to you. I'm a public school teacher. My students right now are reading Thomas Paine's Common Sense, and in Common Sense, Thomas Paine, part of the founding documents of our country, at least from an ideological perspective. And you know, we're just reading the section where he's talking about the fact that the government at its very best is a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so hearing you say that, you know, plays into that. We've come so far from that mindset and that attitude. Wow, it's really really cool to hear you say that. Can I ask you? I really listened to you speak and talk about your organization. It just really got me wondering. How'd you get so brave to get this started? Like, what did it for you, ma'am? Where you said to yourself that you're going to take this on and fight this fight? Because that's got to be an amazing story.
Well, you know, first of all, just being a strong individual within yourself. My story is kind of, I wasn't worried about the system. I had actually lost my health. And I had just got off of life support, learning how to walk again.
Oh my goodness.
I was sitting on my couch watching television, having dinner. And I saw on the news that we now can have guns in the home in Chicago. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So now I'm interested, right? I dropped down, I put my plate down, I grabbed the pencil and a piece of paper, and I started to jot down this information because I wanted to see, like, how did we get here? What's going on, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I got a portion of the information off of the news because they were talking about the McDonald case. At that point in time, I did not know Mr. Otis McDonald.
And so let me just sort of clarify. I'm sorry to stop you because it's very interesting to me. But so prior to this, like, guns weren't a part of your life, like firearms?
Oh, no. Guns were a part of my life.
Okay.
Being in the fight for 2A rights weren't a part of my life.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right. So, okay. Yeah, please continue. And then if we get a chance, I'd like to go back and find out what your sort of like background like with firearms was.
Okay. You know, and so, of course, I saw in the news that we can now have a gun in the home. And I wanted to have a gun in the home because I had a few things were going on where the bad guys was trying to break in.
Okay.
You know, my son went away to college. And so I wanted to protect myself and my family. As I got involved with that information, and I called and I tried to figure out where do we sign up, what do we do, I got a hold to that class that the instructor for the course that I saw on the news. I paid for my class. I went down there, and just as we had finished the written portion of the examination for the class, they passed out a piece of paper and they said, well, tomorrow, guys, we're going to go here. And I was wondering, like, well, where are we going in my head, right? It was an actual map of Gat Guns in Dundee, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yep, familiar with it.
And I said to myself, I said, wait a minute. I said, Dundee, I haven't been there ever since not Great America, but there was another little
Santa's Village
thing. Yes, Santa Village, right? And I was like, I haven't been there since then, right? Yeah. But of course, I couldn't really get there. Like I said, I had just learned how to walk again.
Yeah.
And I was just getting involved. Like, I'm going to take this course because someone's been trying to break in and I want to protect myself. Long story short, I got to the class. We completed the class. But being a member of these organizations, you know how when you join an organization and you get a membership?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a lifetime member of the Illinois State Rifle Association here in our state. So I called them because I said, well, what are we paying for? So I called them and said, hey, I saw this on the news. I took a class. Where do we go from here? And then I told them my spiel. I said, you know, I lost my health. I just had to go at least 50 miles because there wasn't a gun range here. Remember, for the CFP in Chicago after the McDonald case, when that was won, we had the right to own a gun in the home, but they wanted you to have training and you had to have range training. Well, there wasn't a gun range in the city of Chicago, yet it was mandated. Mm-hmm. That's how I actually got involved. When I reached out to the Illinois State Rifle Association and I told them all the red tape that I went through just to complete the transactions of what was needed for a Chicago firearm permit at the time, they said, well, would you like to sue the city of Chicago? And Ezell versus City of Chicago was born.
Gotcha. And when was that?
2010. It was 2010, right after the McDonald victory, right after the landmark victory of McDonald versus City of Chicago. That was right directly after the Heller decision, because we all have the same attorney. We all had the same attorney. And that was in 2010.
Gotcha.
Because if you remember, if you're from here, you remember you had the right to have a gun in the home, but you needed a permit.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? That's because of the McDonald decision. And as I was complying with that, my rights were violated because I had to travel outside of the city limits to comply with a city ordinance.
To accomplish
because
that.
Because they wanted the range training.
Gotcha.
And the fact that I was disabled and that kind of played into everything.
And so Gat Guns in Dundee, from where you were living at the time, maybe distance-wise or time-wise, what kind of commute was that?
It was horrible. It was horrible because I barely could walk, right? So driving 40, 50 miles. I got lost 1,000 times. Let me just say it.
Chicago traffic.
It's all part of the story. Like, the people that know the story, they know, like, I got lost. I pulled off the highway about 3 or 4 times. I don't know how many times I cried in the process, but it happened. Mm-hmm. And so I finally made it there. I found the place. I got back home. That's when I reached out to the Illinois State Rifle Association to tell them everything I went through, because it was new. It was fairly new in Chicago that you can have a gun. Nobody really knew the ins and outs of what it was that was actually needed to get that permit to actually literally have the firearm in the home. And that's where, as a member, I want to know, well, what am I paying for? Let me call these guys and get some information.
Yes.
Gotcha. But I ended up ranting about what I went through. And so I guess a light bulb went off in their head, like, yeah, okay. Sounds good to us. Sounds like a lawsuit to me.
So the Illinois State Rifle Association, they encouraged you and they stood behind you?
They asked me, would I like to sue? Along with the Illinois State Rifle Association, we had the Second Amendment Foundation, who financially took care of the cases.
Gotcha.
Because it was not just one case. It's an Ezell 2 as well.
Okay.
Once we won the first Ezell versus City of Chicago case for the right to build gun ranges, the City of Chicago came back with more shenanigans. And then we had an Ezell 2 versus the City of Chicago.
So you did win the initial court case?
I did. Gotcha. I won them both.
And then you won the second one as well?
Correct.
Excellent. Good for you.
Yes. What have there been any improvements?
When you say improvement, what area are you talking about?
Well, you had to drive for forever to exercise your rights. Has anything changed for the positive that you can see?
Well, here's the thing on that. There's a yes and no answer here.
Okay.
And let me give you the yes, because it's not about was there any change, because it would take an individual to actually invest financially in historical work, landmark work that we've done. We've set a precedent in the country for how the Second Amendment is interpreted in a court of law, winning 2 federal lawsuits to build brick and mortar gun ranges in the City of Chicago. I'm the only woman in the country to do that, setting the precedent here. Now, that was the good part. We did something. We gained something, not just for Chicago, but for the country, because these cases are cited throughout the nation.
Yes.
Slightly on the no side is because no one has done anything with the 2 federal wins. No one has built the range. I don't have $10 million to build a state-of-the-art facility. And so that's where the little no come in at.
Yeah, I cannot fathom why the gun industry being what it is, why that has not happened.
That's the same thing I was
certainly
saying.
Like
and
to
I
know.
Sent messages to the big wigs in the 2A community and all these trade shows that are going on. And hey, guys, we've done the work. We've laid the foundation. Like, what is the deal here? Like, we don't have anyone interested.
Right.
You all don't speak of building gun ranges in the City of Chicago. You're talking with my co-plaintiffs. Mm-hmm. They build ranges all across the country. And so I don't know why. It's disappointing that the industry has not stepped up.
It is. It truly is.
It's very disappointing. I won't let that bring me down, because my goal now moving forward is to stay in a space and a place where I'm available for women to continuously help them learn, manipulate, understand firearm safety.
I love that.
And I still have to travel outside of the city to do so. It sucks.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? We have a casino before a gun range.
Right.
Right.
Make it make sense.
Wow. Great point.
Well, from the city's aspect and the state's aspect, that's a great source of revenue for them. And it's immediate.
I get
and it's significant. Unfortunately, money talks. So I'm not surprised to see a casino. And, you know, it's really ironic because our governor, that is very much outspoken against firearms, has a family member that just built a shooting range in, I believe, just outside Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Correct.
So
it just goes to show you
the hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
100%.
And, you know, we saw that. We see that.
Good for me, but not for thee.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Do as I say, not as I do. So we, you know, we notice those things. And like I said, we're in the fight. And And not only, again, when people, if people go to our website, they'll get the opportunity to read each case, right? And a lot of people have a tendency to kind of process things in a box.
Okay, explain
We're
that.
Outside of that box, you know what I'm saying? Because not only do we have historical landmark cases, our cases are and always will be cited throughout this nation. We will soon take down PICA, which is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
If we get SCOTUS to actually take one of the cases here in Illinois, that'll be across the board. It will set the precedent for other states.
I like her attitude.
Absolutely. 100%.
You inspire me, ma'am.
Thank you.
You really do. No, it's true.
So what is the likelihood? Well, let me ask you this. The Chicago Guns Matter organization, is there a current path to SCOTUS against PICA?
Well, we're not plaintiffs.
Okay.
Our cases are cited in every one of those cases in the state of Illinois.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think I don't want, and I want to say this as humble as I possibly can without it coming out the wrong way and people think that we're arrogant, because we're not.
Nope. Go ahead and say it.
I don't believe that we have to file a lawsuit unless someone wants us on their lawsuit with them for namesake.
Gotcha.
Because we've already set the precedent.
Sure.
Under McDonald's, under Iselle, right?
Yep.
That's there already. And so unless they wanted me to be a plaintiff for suing for concealed carry on the CTA, on mass transit. But they have their plaintiffs for that already. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Setting the precedent, I think our work, I don't want to use the term our work is done. Our work is there, and it speaks for us.
Yes.
Yeah, the foundation is there.
The foundation.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So what your next move, or what is it that you're currently working on as a goal?
As a goal, again, the ultimate goal is to actually get that first brick and mortar gun range built.
I got you. That's what you want to see.
Yeah. But right before, you know, before it's over. But at the end of the day, my goal is to stay in this two-way fight, make sure my voice is heard, speaking for those that can't speak for themselves, being in a space where we are teaching, training, and educating women, children, and whoever else about fundamental constitutional rights, their fundamental constitutional right to keep and bear arms, and being in a place where we do not allow the anti-gunners to think that they're going to disarm us, because we're not going. We're not.
Yeah, good for you. You spoke several of my own sentiments, so I'm really glad to hear you say that.
Rhonda, was that that number that you threw out? You said, like, I don't have $10 million to open up a brick and mortar. Is that a real number, or is that just a number you sort of threw out? Like, have you looked at it?
If we're going to be honest, you're going to need at least you're going to need 6 million.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that. Just speaking from what I've talked to with other people, there's a range not far from my house. It's 20 lanes total, divided in 2 halves. And mm-hmm. from what I understand, not counting land, not counting the building, not
right.
just the range portion of that facility was a little over $1 million. And that's just the range portion.
It's going to be a very expensive project.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell people, I try to tell the people all the time, it's like, look, I know that there are several manufacturers that build gun range. I just happen to have one that was my co-plaintiff. This is another reason why it doesn't make sense to me, right? You actually have one of the top builders that build gun ranges that was a co-plaintiff, and they're not pushing the envelope on getting someone to build in Chicago?
Right, right.
But have you gotten an answer as to why that is?
I don't know. I've had meetings with the district managers and sit downs, and I tried to bring people to the table. You know, throughout the years, you have people that, oh, I'll do this, and we'll meet, and we try to talk, cross some T's and dot some I's, and then it doesn't work out. And then you just try to, you know, keep the ball rolling to keep the conversation on the table. But again, it goes back to investing.
Yes, yes.
But here, to me, you can't tell me with 2.5 million FOIA card holders in the entire state of Illinois that you don't think investing in a gun range within the city limits of the city of Chicago, that you won't make your money back tenfold.
Excuse me.
I think it'd be busy virtually open and closed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
and
I
so
agree.
I ask myself that question all the time. And then sometimes reality creep in on the back end. You go, it's like, okay, this is something that has to be thought about, because when we see, because we don't have a gun store in the city, but we've seen several break-ins in other places, in other states, in other gun stores were robbed. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Do people want to invest in the city of Chicago and something like that happens? It's possible for anything, a grocery store, a big box store, jewelry store, whatever. Criminals are going to be criminals.
Right.
And so I don't want that to be the damper on anything, but yet it's a possibility. But for someone to say that, no one has said it. I'm just putting it out there in the play field because I can understand these things. That people may say, I don't want to invest and lose out because of this.
I'm just skeptical. I'm skeptical of that because I feel like there would be that it would be so advantageous financially that it's hard for me to believe that someone wouldn't accept that risk. There may be things that I'm very naive, ma'am. So please understand that, you know, I'm very naive about a lot of these things. And so I don't know if there's insurance issues or zoning issues or, you know,
we took care of all of that. We took care of the zoning issue in the second case.
So you're just reaffirming what the thought that I just haven't enunciated yet, and that is that the person that is most one of the people that would be most qualified to have a range would be you, because this is, you know, you did this. You're so competent. It's, you know, unbelievable, you know, what you've done and what you've accomplished. It's not lost on my mind that you took on City Hall.
Right.
You know, people don't do that. Like, and it's not just City Hall, right? It's the right. State Hall, the Federal Hall. You did those things. And so, yeah, like, I think there needs to be some investors out there. I know that I'm just putting out, you know, positive messages to the universe.
Right.
But it needs to be you. Like, you need to be the person who has the first brick and mortar gun range in the city of Chicago.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
And it needs to bear your name.
So let me put that statement in perspective that I took on City Hall.
Please do.
And that's very important. Not only did I take on City Hall, and I don't like to use the term we did.
Yes, I understand.
Hall.
I understand. Yes.
We beat Mayor Daley in federal court in the first case. In the second, we beat Rahm Emanuel. Wow. You see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's perspective.
Powerful, powerful
That's
people.
That's the fight. That's powerful. It's empowerment. It's standing up to the system, the corrupt democratic system here in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's not every day that you have an individual that wakes up, take on the political powers to be, land on the front page of the Sun-Times, land in the law book of what are we in here? Randy Barnett and Josh Blackman's constitutional law. These are the things that don't happen every day.
Yes.
And yet these are things that we've accomplished. I've accomplished. But the goal is to make sure that we share the information.
Well, we're trying to do our small part.
Thing. Yeah. You know, I don't try to.
Our 300 listeners will agree. I hope.
You know, and I hope those 300 listeners have their concealed carry licenses and they can go to our website and understand how they got it.
Yeah.
And understand the fight. We did that fighting for you guys, you know, and it wasn't just for Chicago, it was for the entire state.
Yep.
And now the cases are landmark cases. They've set precedent. So we help win more cases across the country. So it's way beyond what's appears on the surface.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's great to see. It's also humbling to realize what some people are doing and what they're trying to do and what how it affects other people. Lee and I, we started our website just about a year ago. We started podcasting a few months ago, and a lot of our motivation was to educate people, to spread some word. And also part of it was him and I have become friends after my wife and myself took his concealed carry class. And we would talk about some of the shortfalls of things not being done. And we just decided whether, you know, 12 people end up listening to our voice or 100 or however many, that instead of just sitting around a table and talking about it ourselves, that we're going to broadcast it and try and get the word out there more and get people to realize that the Second Amendment is a civil liberty, but it is just one of many, but it's the one we're focusing on. But the way you stated it in your opening is, like Lee said, it really is inspiring. That's a little bit of what we're trying to do too.
And who knew, you know, I sort of felt, what group of people, there are only a handful of states, right, where people that are firearms, Second Amendment, I don't even want to use the word enthusiasts or believers, advocates, what have you, in the Second Amendment, we should be one of the most dejected groups of people, you know, in the country. And I just had this feeling that there were people out there that needed to have their voices heard. And, you know, who knew? I didn't know that there was a woman named Rhonda in Chicago who took on Goliath and won.
What?
Not just once and twice. I didn't know. And here I am sitting, I'm in my basement studio talking to a woman that made my life better, made my whole family's life, made hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people's lives better. It's amazing. I didn't know this was going to go there, Joe. This is
absolutely. Our goal is to make sure that we highlight other people in this 2A space as well.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I like to do is help smaller groups, organizations be seen and heard. Me, I'm not so much big on being an influencer because we influence the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to leave it like that way for me. That's why I don't do the YouTube thing or anything. And I'm not knocking it because I have tons of interviews out there. I was on a Today Show. If you Google me, it's a rabbit hole,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
But our job is to come in contact with other 2A people so that we can help spread their information and bring people into the fold with them as well. That's what we've done for the last 14 years.
Well, we're jumping on your bandwagon because that's exactly what we're trying to do as well.
And so whenever you guys get time, send me a friend request on Facebook or something.
Okay.
And then when you have the podcast, tag me, link it, so I can link it and put it out there to let everybody know where you guys are, where they can find you, locate your podcast, and click on and listen to any of your podcasts.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's thank great. You. Yeah, really appreciate that. What could we and or our listeners do to help Chicago Guns Matter?
Motivate and find someone to actually invest in building the first brick and mortar gun range.
Yes, word of mouth.
That's what's most important.
It's going to happen. It has to happen.
I don't see how it doesn't. I mean, it's real.
It's been 14 years.
And
I'm still.
That's the thing that's blowing my mind.
You know,
there's a barrier there somewhere, but I just don't know what it is.
And it's something, but I'm not, you know, that's my baby. It's my legacy, and we're going to make sure that it happens. One thing about Chicago Guns Matter, we are nonprofit.
Okay.
So, you know, we just do the hard work. We do the work, and we do what we do.
Awesome.
In this industry.
Yep.
And everyone, if they don't know Chicago Guns Matter, I'm sure they've heard of McDonald versus Chicago.
Yes.
And they've heard of Azelle versus Chicago. And then they don't know that who we are until I'm standing next to them watching them say our names and I'm correcting names and it is, oh my God, it's you. And I'm like, it is. How are you? Because again, that is the reason, like when you stated why you all started your podcast, that's why we started Chicago Guns Matter. Because no one to this day, people still think that you can't carry a gun in Chicago.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that history is hard to.
And we told them
hard to defeat
that we would beat that down. And that started in 2010. And so we did that. But for some reason, if people don't go to our website, then they don't get the proper information.
Right.
But yet, when all the 2A cases are being fought in the court of law in any state and they're being won, well, they're being won by some sort of precedent. Right. And that's where we come back into the fold, because there's only 1, 2, 3, 4 Supreme Court cases that has been taken.
Wow.
And it was Heller was the first. McDonald was the second.
Yep.
Yeah, Catano. And then you had Bruin.
Yeah, it's very significant.
Catano's case was the stun gun case. And so Bruin just reiterated Heller.
Right.
And so now we see all the lower courts are defying that. That's why with the PICA Act in the state of Illinois, which was a unconstitutional
absolutely
bill that the governor signed into law at the dead of night, more corruption as usual. We know, and they know, that this isn't going to go any further. SCOTUS is not going to allow them to try to rewrite Bruin or rewrite Heller or McDonald.
Right. No, I agree with you. I do think when it gets defeated, though, there will be a secondary effort. I don't think they're going to give up.
I doubt it, because here's what would happen. When you say the secondary effort, it would have to happen in the state court, right? Mm-hmm. What do I mean? Right now, Judge McGlynn has cases that he could take and decide on the merits, which he's going to do. May 10th, something will be going on. If he decides before SCOTUS decides to take a case from Illinois, then that's where the state of Illinois gets to make that second run for it.
Yeah, well, they'll be able to pivot.
But on a state level.
But this is where it get iffy for the state, because if they lose in state court, right, and it's over with, they have to appeal to the Supreme Court. Would they rather the state of Illinois just beat them and let every other state fight it out, or they appeal to SCOTUS, which they know they're going to lose because SCOTUS knows what's written in Bruin and in Heller, and then it'd be nationwide.
So let me ask you this. If they have to understand on a certain level that it's unconstitutional and that it eventually be overturned, so what's the motivation to just have that in place in the meantime?
What the state's motivation is this. It's, you know, it's a bigger picture. It's the underlay for the overplay. Governor Pritzker wants to run for president, and to tout that he banned so-called black guns.
I got
you. I say the term in quotations.
Yeah.
Because it's a made up term. He wants to tout that he did that in the state of Illinois.
So he wants to wear that feather in his hat. I got you.
I believe so, because he knows it. Because now, if you've been following PICA Act closely, like a little bit of a month ago, they were, no one is going to knock on your door and ask you to give up your firearms.
Correct.
Oh, well, it's voluntarily. We didn't say that they had to fill out the form on the Illinois State Police website. Now it's voluntarily. So this came from the governor and Kwame Raoul. And so they know that they're lying, and they know that it's unconstitutional. You have to remember, this is the same group of people that during the fight for concealed carry, Kwame Raoul, he was my representative. He sat at the table and stated, we'd give you all concealed carry if we can carve out Chicago and Cook County. These people are cruel and they are evil.
No kidding.
So the fact that he is now the attorney general, he has to go along with the status quo like he's been going along with. But they know that they're going to eventually lose this thing. But they're just playing it out.
It's politics.
They plan it out long enough to see if they can get another imaginary victory for the Democrat Party for president, so they can put someone on the Supreme Court and stack the Supreme Court. These are the things that they're doing behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's where it becomes deeper than just fighting for two-way rights. It's understanding where they're going
the
with their
picture.
Corruption and why they're doing these things.
Yeah. And then if it gets when it eventually gets overturned and then something inevitably happens, it becomes a political football and go, well, we had that banned and now this guy.
If we can get it up to SCOTUS and get it said and done, that'll be that. They'll have to find something else to argue about, you know. I mean, right. The Second Amendment has been utilized as a political pawn for eons.
Right, yeah, very long time.
Yeah.
And so the notion that they're going to stop now is insane. It's just all of these cases are in an interlocutory basis where there haven't been ruled on completely. So that's why SCOTUS is taking their time. They don't want to take it, a case like that. They want it to be actually done with, over, whether win, lose, or draw. Because here's the thing. It doesn't matter whoever wins or lose. Both parties are going to go up to the Supreme Court with it.
Right.
And they think that they can drag Clarence Thomas off of the bench and replace him with one of their people. So that's, they got a lot that they're playing with. But one thing that they're losing with are the facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when right?
Yep. Absolutely. And when it comes down to it, you can play politics and you can play in the media, but the facts, they don't change.
Right. The facts of the cases are what they are.
Yeah.
And so we stand in the way of that. And good. When we do knock it down, you'll hear me loud and clear as if like I did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
because you say in that fight, our cases are being cited. They don't like us. We went to court. I approached Kwame Raoul at the courthouse, and I told him that I didn't appreciate a statement he made about my case that was litigated, that it was not new litigation. It was historical landmark litigation.
Did he
and
respond?
He didn't have to respect that. He just stood there and he looked.
Probably not a lot to respond. And that's probably okay. not much of a response.
But it's okay. I gave him my business card and I told him to give me a call when you have time.
Oh, that's
I'm available.
I love that.
So
I'm available.
Have you suffered any personally from standing up? Has it been any retribution or anything like that?
Tried to death stain me. Or anything like that.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I don't like to bring negativity into things, but
here's the thing. I have not, Mr. McDonald, he suffered a lot.
He did.
He went through a lot in the beginning.
Okay.
They were harassing him. Police would come by his house, shining bright lights in his house at nighttime. Like they harassed Mr. McDonald.
Okay.
I haven't had that.
Good.
I don't operate off of those, but no, who's to say? But I haven't dealt with it. I haven't had
good. I'm glad.
Deal with anything of the nature with the political realms of fighting for gun rights in the city of Chicago as well as the state of Illinois. But they know who we are, because I'll tell you this. I don't know if you remember or recall a couple years ago during the Wu Flu that they came out with. We had Lightfoot had to make a statement on television, and the violence was rampant, and it burned her soul to say, we have concealed carry, but call 911. Don't try to handle this on your own. That's how we know.
Yeah.
Right?
Well put.
You don't get to mention concealed carry and knowing that it's available, but now you want the people to don't utilize your firearm. Call us. We'll be there. No, you're not.
Right.
And so we know we're on their radar. It's just that you can bet your bottom dollar in those political circles. We are listed as don't ever give them anything positive in this city to do anything. Like, you see what I'm saying? So when you ask, have I been affected by it?
Yeah,
I probably have. I just don't know about it.
You just don't know it. I see.
Yeah, but they're not going to give you any level of credit or recognition in a positive
light. That's it. That right there. They never give recognition. They never want to acknowledge the historical nature of what we've done, you know, and so we see that, we know that, we understand that, and it doesn't
bother me, it just
lets me know that we've done a better job at kicking butt than they thought we could.
You know, and what a missed opportunity that Chicago Public Schools can't or choose not that they can't, they choose not to take a local individual with such a strong personality as an advocate and have that person come into the school as a guest speaker to motivate anybody in virtually any grade level. I mean, you know, junior
civics,
you should have a speaking engagement once a week just locally.
And that's it. They don't want that.
They don't.
And it's not that they don't want to educate the children, because think about that. If that was the case and we did that, do you know how much the violence will be cut in half?
I'd love
because
to see
these
that.
Kids will be educated.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't want that. Just because they use the Second Amendment as their political pawn, they can't speak nothing positive about firearm ownership. It will kill their souls.
Right. It's really, really unfortunate. What a missed
opportunity. And it's unfortunate. And we know that. We see it. But we don't let that bother us. That's why when we continuously see our cases cited across the country, we pat ourselves on the back, because we know that the work that we've done is the gift that keeps on giving.
Do you guys have any local rallies or engagements or anything like that with the community?
No.
Okay.
No. We've done that in the beginning. In 2010, we used to do all of that. I'm at a place right now, 14 years later, trying to enjoy some of my legacy.
Sure.
Yeah. How's your health been? You mentioned that you had a health scare just prior to
all
this.
Health scare? I almost checked out of this place.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm still here.
All right.
I'm still fighting and battling what I was diagnosed with, but I'm still here. I don't complain. I'm a miracle patient.
Awesome.
So I'm a walking testimony. I'll leave it like that.
Obviously, you're a fighter.
All right.
Keep going. Absolutely. And so we want to make sure that we take that energy and we put it into something positive, and we don't allow the corrupt system to bring us down, because they will.
They will if you let them. Absolutely.
If you allow it.
Well, good for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Good for all of us.
Yeah, and thank you.
Absolutely.
Yep. My hat goes off to you. It's fantastic. I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time and having this conversation with us. I think that we have several people that are going to find this one of the more interesting podcasts that we've posted. There's a lot of information there.
Absolutely. You know, John and Lee, I thank you guys for having me on 2A today. And we'll be back, because once we nip Pika in the bud, and then we have all these stores that are able to sell American freedom to the American people, then we have something else to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, what we'll do is we'll make sure we keep in touch with you. And I know for a fact I would, and I don't even have to ask Lee. I know he'd love to have you back again in the future. Thank you so very much, Rhonda. Like we said, keep up the fight. Glad to hear things are going well. And maybe we'll bump into you at one of the ranges.